always cool in Mesa.
Yes, it is.
It's always cool in Mesa.
Yeah.
Forget the degrees and just remember this, please. I say it's always cool in Mesa.
Excuse my less than average Spanish, folks, but it's time for Dia de los Muertos, otherwise known as the Day of the Dead. But don't let the name fool you, because no matter who you are or where you're from, you'll discover the Day of the Dead is a very not scary, even joyful event. If you've never understood the meaning and significance of this special holiday, you've landed in the right spot. Como siempre es fresco en Mesa. Sierra Cuatro, Episodio Cuatro. Dia de los Muertos.
It's always cool in Mesa.
Can't you see? Can't you see it now? Don't you call me insane.
This episode of It's Always Cool in Mesa is brought to you by the Mesa Art Center, a unique, architecturally stunning, international award-winning facility located in the heart of downtown Mesa. It's Arizona's largest art center and home to 4 theaters, 5 art galleries, and 14 art studios. The Mesa Art Center attracts the best shows in the business, not the least of which is the city's annual musical presentation of The Man Who Killed Santa Claus, the true story of triumph over failure, set in downtown Mesa, 1932, with original music composed by Emily Susan Pack. Friday, November 29th, with a first show at 4 p.m. and a second at 7:30 p.m. Also, special musical guests, singer-songwriter Emma Nissen. The Man Who Killed Santa Claus. Tickets on sale now at mesaartcenter.com.
Believe it, Santa Claus is flying to
You know that thing you figure out one day and you're just embarrassed that you never realized it before? Like there's no such thing as baby carrots, just carrots cut smaller? I mean, fine, when you're young you can't know everything. But I was 50-something before I stopped believing in baby carrots. Here's another one. I used to think Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, was Mexican Halloween. Turns out nothing could be further from the truth. Luckily, I figured that one out a while ago, because for 20 years, Mesa has been producing one of the best Dia de los Muertos celebrations in the country. Don't take my word for it.
Eye-opening and more than educational, but inspirational.
That's how Adam Bazaldúa describes it. And Adam was on the National League of Cities committee that selected Mesa as the 2022 Cultural Diversity Awards winner, mainly for our two-day Dia de los Muertos celebration held at the Mesa Art Center every year.
This particular event seems to be extremely thoughtful in collaborating and engaging the community. Several, you know, local artists, local vendors, food. It was very engaging of the public.
But Mesa's annual Day of the Dead celebration didn't just, you know, come alive one day. It evolved slowly but surely over 2 decades. In 2006, the new Mesa Art Center had just opened its doors to the public. Randy Vogel was its very first hire.
The goal for the Mesa Art Center was to be relevant to the community and to be accessible to the community. So we were always looking for ways for that to happen.
And a full third of that community was, and is, Hispanic.
The Day of the Dead Festival that had previously been happening in our community had moved away.
Here was an opportunity for the Art Center to fulfill its mission with a new festival.
We knew it was important to be real. Rather than just making it a Mesa Art Center staff-driven program.
So they reached out to the Mexican consulate, who wisely called on the talents of 2 recent employees, Jeannie Montano and Susana Ibarra. They hit on a great idea right out of the gate. Here's Jeannie.
Susana was the one that had the idea of creating an altar contest.
Altars, or shrines, built for the departed are a central part of the Day of the Dead celebration. Jeannie and Susana put out the call for contest entries.
We invited families, organizations, businesses, schools to come and join.
But the response in that first year was less than enthusiastic, which gave Jeannie and Susanna no option but to exercise some, let's call it, gentle and loving persuasion.
Actually, Susanna and myself came over, you know, talked to the girls at the consulate, and we said, you are putting up an altar, you are creating an altar, you are creating an altar, but I don't have anybody to, you know, create an altar for. Well, I heard that your dog died this year, so you're going to create an altar for your dog. And they're like, okay, how? I don't know how. Don't worry, we'll help you. So the first year was kind of a little bit of force behind it.
Small beginnings, but they got it done. Randy and I talked about the important opportunity this first Dia de los Muertos created for the new art center.
It was probably the first time we were able to put all the pieces of the puzzle of the Mesa Art Center together.
And every year it's just gotten better and better. Not that it was easy.
It was really a lot of work to make the event grow.
How did it feel when you actually saw it turn the corner, you know, and you showed up and here's a huge crowd and you can see people celebrating this amazing tradition? That must have been very rewarding for you.
I remember when they said 20,000 people over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to 30,000, and I almost fainted.
You can imagine what having this celebration has meant for Mesa's Hispanic population. And if you can't, here's former Mesa City Councilman David Luna.
What's really striking to me is that we get to showcase to the wider community that this is part of who we are as Hispanics, who we are as Latinos, to come together and to celebrate us as people.
We probably have all experienced how horrible it is to feel like you're invisible. Councilman Luna is talking about the opposite, the joy of being seen, and he would know. David, you know, I'd love to talk about what a historic figure you are in Mesa, because in the long history of Mesa, 140 years plus, you're the first Hispanic member of our city council.
That's correct. That's
so,
correct.
Yeah. I've said if we had a Mount Rushmore, your face would certainly be on the Mesa Mount Rushmore.
Maybe it could be in the new city council chamber.
Okay, David, don't push it. Again, this very colorful public celebration of Mesa's diversity is what caught the eye of the National League of Cities. But there's also a quiet, equally important aspect of this celebration. Mandy Tripoli has been heading up the festival for years.
With the help of Amazon as our sponsor, we're going to be in 12 schools this year, and they will all produce their own altar to be as part of the competition.
As part of the curriculum, qualified artists visit with students at our schools.
They'll talk to them about the traditional elements of an altar, but they also could explore contemporary ways of going about celebrating the life of those that have passed.
This educational aspect is something that really wowed the National League of Cities. Again, Adam Basildua.
I think that the education piece is so invaluable, specifically for our younger generation, to understand the different walks of life.
One thing students learn is that an altar is built to invite departed loved ones to return and commune with the living. Again, here's Jeannie Montano.
Everything that is put in an altar has actually a meaning behind it.
And it's geared towards inviting the soul and providing the elements that would make it attractive for the soul to visit.
Exactly, to make it to where it's supposed to go.
So what are the elements of an altar?
There should be water. The water is for purifying. The salt is to shush away the bad spirits that might want to come with the soul of the person that is coming. An altar should have a representation of the four elements. The little paper banners, the papel picado, this one represents the wind. The candles, of course, you know, have a meaning of light. Showing the way, the cempasúchil, which is the marigold. The aroma of the marigold is something that would lead the way to the soul of where to go to. You should have the favorite food of the person that you're, you know, putting the altar for, as well as favorite things. So all of that is supposed to encourage the soul, the specific soul, to find the place where it's supposed to go.
Earth, wind, water, and fire, elements of every altar, or ofrenda, as festival goers call it. But what are the elements of the festival itself? Jeannie continued my education.
The music is a very big element of the Day of the Dead. Actually, in many places in Mexico, when people celebrate at the cemetery, they would bring mariachis to play for them, for the people that have passed. And for us, as you know, this is a celebration of, of the person that gets to come and visit us for a couple of days.
It's true. Music is nonstop at our Dia de los Muertos.
Also, the food.
Ah, the food. The food at Day of the Dead is, well, to die for. Randy Vogel agrees.
They bring in some really good stuff. I mean, the smells in our parking lot that just overwhelm the whole festival, you have to go eat. You really do.
Whether it's food or merchandise, Mandy says the bar is set high.
Our committee curates all of the vendors to ensure that they are selling wares that are a part of this tradition.
Hey, I love a Chalupa Supreme as much as the next guy, but we ain't talking Taco Bell here, folks. And that good stuff you're smelling from the parking lot? Early bird, my friends. Don't dawdle.
Our food vendors run out of food.
And if this good food finds its way to an altar, Jeannie says it takes on an even greater meaning.
In this celebration, it is believed that the soul of the departed inhabits the food that you set at the altar. At the end of the celebration, at the end of the day, you consume that food and you're actually in a communion with the soul of the person that is no longer with us.
One of the things that to me is really iconic about the celebration is face painting. Tell us about that. Where does that come from?
So that is a representation of the sugar skulls.
Sure, that checks out. Because the Day of the Dead face painting looks like a skull.
In Mexico, the tradition started a long time ago by creating little sugar skulls that had an empty area in their forehead that you would put the name of a person.
Okay, so we give our loved ones a skull with their name on it? Well, I'm sure there's a very comforting reason for that.
This was a reminder in a way like you also are going to die?
Huh. But certainly the origin story of this tradition is very charming.
Churches had a limited space in their cemetery area to bury the dead. So every so often, they would have to take the skeletons out in order to make new room for new. And the way that they would identify the skeletons of each person would be to write their name on their forehead.
If I'm being honest, it was starting to sound a little like Mexican Halloween. Then the more Jeannie talked about these colorful skulls and face painting, the more it made sense to me. And then she said the magic words.
It's just a reminder of your own mortality, really. So enjoy life.
So enjoy life. It's profound to me because I see it in the lives of my Hispanic friends. They enjoy life. It opened up a new view for me. Isn't that great? I mean, some cultures, you know, are so... they don't embrace mortality like that, right? I mean, it seems like that's a healthy custom to have from the beginning, understand that death is certainly something that we mourn, but it's also a part of life, and we need to embrace it.
In Mexico, we make fun of death. Mm-hmm. You know, we taunt it, we tell jokes about her, we make fun of her. La, 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 you're not going to get me. You know, well, of course, it's going to get you, but, you know, not this time, probably. But it is something that is really part of the celebration is the fact that we make fun of it.
Okay, so new me. I make fun of death now, I guess. Ha, 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 death, you big dummy. I'm not afraid of you. Okay, well, maybe the new me is a work in progress. Talk about the procession. That, to me, is what the, kind of the must-see part of this festival.
Religious processions are very typical of Mexico. Mm-hmm. So what we have done is to have the mariachi lead.
Again, Randy Vogel.
I haven't seen a festival that does this. This procession goes around. It picks up all the hundreds or the thousands of people that are walking around, and they mm-hmm. all end up at the community altar.
The community altar. Wow. Last year was designed and built by Luis Estrada with a lot of help from his wife, Pilar, and an army of volunteers. It was breathtaking. All the elements Jeannie talked about are meticulously laid out across the 14 spacious steps of the outdoor amphitheater. The entire display is bursting with color, dominated by a wash of marigolds, then accented by sugar skulls and papel picado, the vibrant paper banners that represent the wind. It's a stunning achievement, to say the least. But the heart and soul of the altar are the hundreds of personal items and photographs that have been contributed over the years. The entire procession stops before the altar with a sense of awe and reverence. Now is the moment, the reunion of souls both past and present. The names and faces of the departed are in the hearts and on the lips of the living.
I just brought my son's picture. He had had cancer when he was younger. And so I'm just honoring his life.
I am remembering my abuelo, my grandfather.
My mom in special, she passed away not too long ago.
My sister. Yeah, she died tragically.
I have a son that passed about 7 years ago, and he's up on the altar. And the good thing is that, you know, I left my picture here last year, and they took care of my picture. And when I went to look at the altar, they actually had my son's picture back up.
That's another unique aspect of Mesa's Day of the Dead celebration. The Arts Center and its employees have become the stewards of these family treasures.
It's a quiet and very thoughtful process at the end of that processional, and our volunteers come out and they help us pack away every one of those images.
This has been the pattern for years.
So many of the pieces that we have today are the same pieces that we began out with.
Is there like a storage facility where the Ark of the Covenant is located? Turns out, yes, there is.
These are the storage shelves for all of our images and pictures.
And they're of all ages and married couples. Some of these are kind of vintage photographs, black and white, going back many decades, obviously. Guess how many photographs you have to this point?
So I'd say we have probably over 2,000 photographs over the years. And you can see from the frames that these have been just taken right out of people's houses, from their fireplaces, and brought to our community altar.
Well, and some of these are obviously military photographs. And oh, there's a great pet. That looks like a golden retriever.
Yes, we have Junior, the golden retriever.
That's great. Lots of grandmas and grandpas, but also I'm seeing a lot of young people. More than 2,000 photos, each a treasured memory, each trusted into the care of people like Mandy Tripoli.
We feel very honored to be able to do this for our community.
But before the photos are collected on the last day of the celebration, Jeannie says there's one important final moment at the altar.
People at the end of the day get to light up a candle mm-hmm. and leave it next to the image or the memory of their loved ones.
My friends, believe me when I say that when you see this tradition, you'll wish it was your own. But is that okay? I mean, 23andMe says I'm exactly 0% Mexican, but 100% of my heart is with them. Can I borrow this idea and make it my own? Festival goer Albert Tashin has an opinion on this.
I propose to you that is the most American thing you can do. You know, we are a hodgepodge of different cultures. Yes, we may not always agree, but you can take what's good for you and grow as a person. We can do that as a country and grow as a culture. And that's why I personally love being American, because it is a blending of different cultures. Like, my mom's Costa Rican, my dad's Irish Armenian, all right? Those are countries that under normal circumstances would not come together. And I feel it gives me a certain appreciation, because I'm not one or the other. The closest thing is American. And to me, the most American thing is embrace the cultures that come here, that come to share in our goal to live amongst your fellow men. That's a message everyone can take home, yeah. You know? I know everyone likes an egg roll, everyone likes a taco, you know? It's good food, and that's just it. Good food is good food, same way as a good idea is a good idea.
My friend David Luna echoes this thought.
We want you to come and join us and to really honor who we are as Latinos, but we want you to be part of this. Bring the picture, bring a candle, bring some marigold flowers, mm-hmm. and celebrate who they were as individuals, because they really never died. They're still part of you.
For the last 10 years as Mesa mayor, I've really enjoyed attending the Day of the Dead celebrations, but I've never personally participated. I don't know, maybe I never gave myself permission. Until now. Remember those artists who go into schools and coach our students on how to build an altar?
Hello.
Nice to see you. Thank you for making the time to come
over.
Hey, you guys. We're recording a podcast.
Yeah.
One of them, Monique Espinoza, kindly agreed to stop by and review some elements of my altar. I started with a photo of my mom in her graduation cap and gown.
It was very important to her to get an education. She graduated from a university, BYU, back in 1941.
Oh, that's major.
When there weren't a lot of women weren't graduating from universities.
There were two items I knew would help Mom find her way to my ofrenda. One was flowers.
Our family would pile into the car, and we were all fighting with each other, you know, going to church or something, and, you know, the tension.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And she was like, oh, look how beautiful the flowers.
The other was C's chocolates. Always C's.
If she saw flowers, this photograph, you know, some C's chocolates, she would be attracted to this.
Next, on to my dad. His photo featured him wearing his Marine uniform.
He was at Guadalcanal and Okinawa and some places where there were some very historic, ugly fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Never talked about it. But I knew that it was a big part of his life. And I mean, it really impacted him in ways that he didn't let on, you know, to the rest of the family.
And to help guide my father back, definitely a bowl of shelled pecans.
We had in our backyard two big pecan trees. We'd watch, you know, the Cubs play baseball, and he'd sit there and shell pecans, and then he'd give to the family, you know, Ziploc bags full of shelled pecans.
Next, rocks. Or, to be specific.
My dad, much like my mother, it was very important to him to get his education.
Dad grew up poor on a farm.
He wanted to escape that lifestyle. He wanted to get an education.
For him and his family, paying for an education was no easy task.
He would go for as long as he could, as many semesters as he had money for, and then when he ran out of money, he'd go home mm-hmm. and he'd work in the mines, hundreds of feet below the earth, and very hard job.
He kept a reminder of those long, hard days.
In our house growing up, my dad always had this, he had this big rock that he got from a gold mine, and he just loved it.
Finally, Dad would probably come back for his favorite candy, Lifesavers. So that was it. That was my altar in progress. I awaited the teacher's review.
I think these are great elements. I think the most important thing in an ofrenda is just your connection and keeping whoever you're honoring, keeping their spirit alive. Those are the most important things, and you've nailed that.
My educator parents would be so proud.
Well, this was very meaningful for me to go through the process of thinking about this, right? It brought me closer to my parents, who have been dead now for decades. I love the tradition, and it makes having gone through this experience, it makes me wish that I had appropriated this, you know, tradition from my Mexican friends' culture years ago, because what a lost opportunity, you know, over the last several years not to honor my parents with and help my family get to know them better.
You're not appropriating it. You're appreciating it.
After such strong encouragements from wise friends, my hesitations are put to rest. Come this year's Dia de los Muertos, I'll be there, with an altar honoring my parents. The Art Center is buzzing with preparations as we speak, and Luis Estrada will be designing the altar again. He seems to think highly of our celebration.
And you know what? I'm very grateful with City of Mesa because this is the best festival ever, anywhere. Yes, yes. I saw many celebrations around the valley, but this is the best. This is the best.
And a tip of the hat to Jeannie, Susana, and the hundreds of volunteers and the Mesa Art Center for bringing it all to life and improving it every year. Seemed to be the right thing to do, says Randy Vogel.
From the very beginning, we thought that this was what the Mesa Art Center was built for. Mm-hmm. It was built for the community. It was to be reflective of the needs of the community.
So if you thought Dia de los Muertos was Mexican Halloween, you weren't alone, that's for sure. But now you know. Come see it for yourself, October 19th and 20th at the Mesa Art Center. I know I'll be there, enjoying the music, eating the food, laughing with old friends, and lighting a candle for my dear departed parents. And I'll look forward to communing with them, too. They're going to be really surprised to find out I'm a Mexican Catholic now, but we'll work through it. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend.